content may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Big week coming up. Sum 41 tomorrow night, then Chevelle, then Foo Fighters, and then Pete Yorn. And, next week, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So you better get ready, Adam. No fun nights by ourselves. This is it. This is when we find the love.
Good. So we got some talking to do before we go to the phones tonight.
Somehow I knew that would be the case.
A couple things. I did the Toyota Grand Prix this weekend, and there's stuff to talk about involving that. Another thing I thought was kind of funny was I'm going to do Stern tomorrow, which means this morning. It's so brutal. Oh. It hurts. It hurts. Oh. I could get up at like 3 in the morning and go do it. Oh. But I got this little device so I can do it from my house.
Yeah.
And when Drew and I went to North Carolina a few weeks back to do Dawson's Creek, we needlessly tore this piece of equipment out from where it was mounted in my office, and then we sent it out to Dawson's Creek, and then we never ended up using it. And then
I thought they were using that.
No. Oh, this is why I was angry.
No, they used it. He said he set it up there. I remember talking about it.
Oh, he said, well, we ended up renting one, so we didn't need it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember something about that,
don't you remember
too.
A little twisting of a knife in the gullet? Yeah. So, anyway, Christ. So, now I've been doing this race stuff all week, Thursday, Friday, and the Stern thing, there's nothing worse than something that comes around Sunday morning at about 3 a.m., because it's the weekend.
Yeah,
you can't take care of it Monday.
Right,
it's got to be taken care of. So, I try to set up the Zephyr, the device to do it. I dug it out, pulled it out of the case, hooked up all the wiring and everything. Scott, the engineer from the Stern Show, called. I said, call Friday morning. I got to leave out to the track at like 8, but I'll talk to you at like 7:30 in the morning, and we'll get it worked out. You got to love New York guys, first off, which is a couple things. We try to get the thing hooked up. It ain't working. So here's what the guy's saying to me. I'm supposed to do I'm supposed to call in and talk to Kevin and Bean, the mother station morning show hosts out here.
It's Friday morning.
Friday morning. Yeah. I'm talking to Scott, the engineer over in New York from the Stern Show, puts me on with a tech guy. And this is the guy I like. So I'm like, he's like, try this, try that, try this, try that. I'm like, no, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And listen, he goes, well, can we work on it a little bit later? I said, no, I got to go to the track, I got to do all this practice, I got to call this morning show, I got to do an interview. And New York guys are great. He's like, come on, come on. I go, listen, you don't understand. It's 7:35. I'm supposed to call into the Kevin and Bean show at 7:40, and then I'm supposed to be in Long Beach at like 8:15. We're going to the track. He's like, look, this is going to take 20 minutes. And I'm like, I'm not BSing you. I'm telling you what my schedule is. And he's like, we could settle this.
He thought I
was like, we're at a Turkish bazaar and he was buying an Afghan weave off of me or something. I was like, I'm not, listen, and at a certain point, it always makes me angry too. I go, what do you think? I don't want to get this settled.
Yeah.
I want to get it fixed, but I can't do it right now.
What's your motivation for leaving?
Right. So we don't get it fixed. I'm late to the Kevin and Bean interview. I hear them talking about me on the radio.
Fantastic.
It's funny. He was going, he's probably doing Stern right now, which is funny because I was on the phone with the engineer over there. But be that as it may, I'm going to call them back. But now I'm driving out to Long Beach. I'm dead tired. I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to get this piece of equipment running. I got to get it running. I got to have a technician come Sunday night to the house because I'm doing the race on Saturday. I'm busy all day Friday. I got to be on at 3 a.m. Sunday. I mean, tonight, I got to get someone over the house at like 5, 6 o'clock Sunday to take care of it. So I call the assistant. I say, Lexi, call Westwood One. Tell those guys we got to get. She calls me back. It's like, they're not in such a good mood. I'm like, what do you mean? Seems you took your muck luck and kicked the thermostat off the wall in a rage about 9 hours ago. Now you want them to send a tech out to the house on Sunday to take care of your personal broadcasting needs. Yeah, funny how that stuff comes around, but not that fast normally. It's not normally the next morning that it comes around. Like, it was like, pow, like, I must call this station, I must call Westwood One twice a year. Who knew I was going to call it 9.5 hours after I flew into a rage and kicked the thermostat off the wall? Yeah, it sucks. So they said they were mad and they didn't want to help me, but they'd be nice and do it. So a guy came out the house, got all hooked up, and I'll be good to go tonight at 3 a.m.
Did Elvis go out there?
No.
Yeah.
Kent went out there.
You heard this whole story?
Yeah,
yes.
Good times. All right, so, now we got the big Grand Prix.
Yeah, you got third.
Yeah, I got third. So here's basically how it went down. It was really exciting. It was like 75, maybe 80, 90,000 people.
Wow.
And the whole gentlemen start your engines and the singing of the Star Spangled Banner. And I had a chick, a Takati chick, standing next to my car with a big sign with a pole on it that had my name. So you'd walk over to your car, and the guy'd buckle you, you'd get all strapped in, and then she was just standing there by my car so people knew which car I was in.
Did you talk to her?
I said, I ordered a blonde. She was, like, dark-haired. She didn't get it. She was kind of pissed off. But so it's exciting. You do a couple of laps. You know, you got to stay in the grid because it's a rolling start, and then the pace car pulls off. And when the pace car pulls off, you have to stay sort of on a grid and keep a sort of car length in between, you know, each car. And there's 15 cars rolling down the grid, and you just watch for the green flag. And no one can go, you know, you're rolling for about 100 yards, and then the guy waves the green flag, and everyone takes off, and that's where you got to make your move. Now, if you jump that, they'll do a restart, right, or disqualification. You can't make your move until the guy waves the thing. But if you can time it nicely, you might get a little slingshot and get in front. So I was starting in the second grid. I had Peekaboo Street in front of me, and who's the most competitive person on the planet, by the way?
Yeah.
On Earth. She's like racing snowmobiles, skiing. She's nuts.
It's her thumb wrestle, whatever, anything.
Yeah, and a real tomboy. And I got a good little slingshot, and I went inside to see if I could get around her. And she slid right in front of me. She just saw me coming, and she just slid in front of me. And I had to hit the brake. And Tommy Shane Steiner, who was in here with Josh Brolin on Thursday night, who was behind me, went past me because I was sort of braking not to hit Peekaboo, and the next thing you know, I'm going into the first corner. I'm in fifth place. So we go around the track once, and Tommy bumps into Peekaboo going around the hairpin and spins her out.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, she's out of the race. She's pissed, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, listen, we a little banquet in Long Beach after the race last night. I came walking in, and there was Tommy and Peekaboo having a little confront out front
really?
Of the banquet.
Oh, my. Was she going to kick his ass?
I thought possibly, yes.
Oh, my God.
So she gets spun out, and now I'm in fourth place, and I'm behind Tommy. And Tommy's marginally slower than I am, but not much, just enough. And he's not letting me pass. He's cut me. He's doing what he should do. He's blocking me. He's in front of me. He's blocking me. He's taking my line. The cars are equal. I might just be a shade faster, and I can't get by him. And now I don't want to do anything crazy because they keep stressing to everybody because everyone's crashing during practice and everything. And Buzz Aldrin went through three cars. I've seen him. I saw him go through three cars, for Christ's sake. And they're stressing, look, if you do something stupid, you're going to take yourself out of the race. You're going to take someone else out of the race.
At
maybe
minimum.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
And those people are going to be angry. All this preparation, all these days, all this training, and they do a lap and a half, and you try something stupid and ballsy and go plowing into them and take everyone out of the race. They're going to feel like Peekaboo feels. They're going to be angry. So I thought, all right, well, I'll just ride up the guy's ass for a few laps. He'll screw up, and I'll get past him. He wouldn't. Mm. He just was in front of me the entire time. He's cut me off, and like I said, not in a bad way, just taking my line, seeing where I was, sliding in front, braking a little hard, bumped him about 10 times. now we're finally, it's like it's down. It's 10 laps and we got one lap to go.
Wow.
I'm still in fourth place. I've made contact with his car about 10
and
times.
And he never goes after the guy in front of him.
Well, the guys who are in front of him, who are Peter Reckel, who's from Days of Our Lives, and Soap Guy, and Jesse James, when Peekaboo got her little spin out on the thing, we all got behind Peekaboo because she was in third place.
Held her out.
And Jesse and Peter were in first and second, so they broke apart from the pack a little bit, and they got a buffer. And plus, Tommy was a little bit slower than those guys. And I was behind him and couldn't get behind him. So they were off in the distance, and he was trying to just basically hold me off. He wasn't trying to get to them. So he did an excellent job of holding me off and being a little dirty, but being fun for about nine laps. And then the 10th lap, I just my buddy Ray had called and yelled at me earlier for that he had money on me.
But for third?
He said he had a lot of money for me to win place or show. Top three finish.
Wow.
And I was driving down Shoreline, and I saw that thing. I got the white flag, one lap to go, and I just realized I'm in fourth place. Ray's got some money on me, and I'm just going for it. So if I wipe out or he wipes out, we did the whole race. So turn four, I just went inside, went into him.
Way inside.
Pretty good inside.
And plowed him.
Pretty hard. His car... He hit the wall so hard that he came back and hit me off the wall.
Wow.
I mean, he careened in the wall and then banged into me again.
And it kept going, though.
Who?
He kept going.
No, he didn't.
Well, that was it.
That was it for him.
Nice.
He kept going. Yeah, he rolled. Well, he was probably going 45, so he probably dragged his car about another 30, 40 feet.
You just took him out of the race.
Well, yeah, I did.
Oh. Was he pissed at you?
No. We had a good race. He had a good time. I figured he should have been pissed. The whole side of my car was effed up, too, but it seemed to be running okay after that. And I only had half a lap to go before the finish. So, but he had to know it was coming eventually. So he had a good time. It was a good time. So everyone was really cool. Had a
Ray
fun
won.
Time. And
Ray got his money.
That's the important thing. And again, Peter first, Peter Reckel first, and then Jesse James from Monster Garage second, me third, and wow. The guy won, Jeremy McGrath won the pro class.
Did he?
Yeah, which is nice.
And was Josh in that class?
Yeah, Josh came in second,
wow.
Pro. Good times. But, hey, man, it was... Oof.
Hairy.
It was. I mean, talk about adrenaline.
When you're
doing that, getting ready to start the race, and... It's crazy. All the crowds cheering. You're up on the Diamond Vision, and the guy's announcing, and planes flying over and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow.
I love that time of my life. Jackie?
Jackie?
Hello?
You're 18. What's up?
Well, we have this little girls' club in Kansas City called the BOTC, and we were sitting around, and we've been talking about this for a while. We figured we'd call your show to ask you. There's like five or six of us, and none of us have ever gotten off having sex.
Oh, really? By the way, just a quick note. Paul Tracy, who was in here Wednesday night, won the
Grand Prix.
Yeah, Sunday.
That's
today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jackie, here's the deal. You are 18.
Correct.
And so most 18-year-olds have difficulty achieving an orgasm at all. And throughout life, like when you're 40... Many women, and I dare say most, don't have orgasm during intercourse. Or certainly, I could say accurately, the vast majority of the time don't have orgasm during intercourse. Women don't have orgasm during intercourse. That's a common thing.
Well, that really sucks because, like, you know, three of us are with guys that we've been with since we were 14, and we're probably going to spend the rest of our lives with them. And that's
don't count.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Maybe,
sure, whatever you say.
Maybe you get hit by a bus when you're 19, and it'll work out.
But, you know. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. I want to know. Quiet down. Quiet down over there, you steel magnolia. What the hell is going on that you start a bitter woman's club at 18?
It's not a bitter woman's club.
What's the B-O-H-C thing?
B-O-T-C?
B-O-T-C. It's the Big Old Committee.
Ooh. I'm sorry if you took any offense to it. You guys have big breasts?
Yes.
You do?
Natural.
Big natural. Big everything or just the breasts?
No, just boobs. Our motto is, if your boobs stick out further than your stomach, then No.
Not part of the club. Oh, you are still a club.
Right. What's your cup size?
I am a double D. I'm a 36 double D.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are about a double D or higher.
Mm. Bouncy.
Or higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picturing a lot
of... We wear, like, size 9 jeans.
Size 9.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
We're not fat.
Please, Drew. How dare you? All right. Well, listen. You're having the orgasm through oral sex, right?
No.
Do you have orgasms at all? Some of you do, some of you don't, right?
Well, yeah. A few of us can get off with, like, manual stimulations from our boyfriends.
Right. And that's that.
And by ourselves, of course.
Oh, everybody can by themselves.
Well, yeah.
No, not everybody. Not Jackie.
Huh?
Not you, Jackie, or you?
Oh,
you,
yeah, me.
No, it's another club, another member of the club that she's defending.
I see. Well, Jackie, listen, this is normal for age, and most women throughout their life will only have orgasm during intercourse, and at your age, very few would have it during intercourse. Now, of course, we'll have, callers going, I beg to differ. Of course, there are millions and millions and millions of women who do have orgasm with intercourse,
yeah.
But statistically,
yeah.
The majority do not.
What is what's up with that? Jackie was from Kansas, but what is that sort of middle of the country thing where you're 18, you're ready to call to life?
Yeah,
like, I've been with my Merle since we were 13. We got two kids. We're looking at
some farmland.
We're looking at some land. He's I want to raise organic sprouts. He says emus. That's the way to go. But it's less fat than beef, and they can use their corneas on
transplants.
So they just the animal that keeps. I'm 17. I'll be 17 in June. You know, it's like really what really? When I was 18, I thought I was gonna be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Like I was just sitting around beating off, wondering. Geez, watching like Get Smart after school and thinking about what I was going to do. Like, I was getting married, starting clubs, sitting around, getting a big ass, eating a bunch of fried cheese. What is that in the middle of that? Like, it's weird. Like, in that part of the country, people seem to sort of settle into whatever their life is going to be pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then here... You see people in their early 30s sitting at Starbucks writing a manuscript and doing nothing all week. Like
right.
They hear they're an arrested adolescence their whole life.
Yes, and they're adolescent. They skip adolescence.
Yeah, there's some factory gig they take or some joins the military or someone gets pregnant at 16 or 17. There's got to be, I'm trying to think of where that place is, Arizona? There's got to be a happy medium.
Colorado, Idaho.
Okay. Idaho.
Colorado.
All right. Victoria?
Yes?
You're 14?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, I want to know, what does it mean to, like, pop your cherry?
It means to rupture the hymen. There's a sort of a narrowing in the vagina when you're a virgin, and it gets sort of torn or opened. And that's what they're talking about.
Hmm. And I had one more question.
Yeah.
Actually, I had, like, two, but one was really small. Like, first of all, like, do you still make new shows of The Man Show, or do you still make new episodes of that?
Oh, you're going to see new shows of The Man Show for some time, but then that'll be it.
Oh, you don't make any more?
Well, look, let's not get focused on what I'm making. If I have a stash of man shows that you have not seen before, regardless of when they were made, you can enjoy them. Yes?
Whatever.
Yeah.
You'll be sure to tell them, too.
You just watch that Comedy Central, you watch The Man Show, and you'll see new ones.
Well,
I probably
have,
ran a new one tonight.
You and I have something coming up. We have a Crank Yankers on April 23rd.
April 23rd, they're going to show ours.
Our Crank Yanker, and then we have Dawson's Creek this Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be humiliating.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they put that together.
Be prepared. Be afraid, Drew. Be very afraid.
Could be good. I mean,
it could be.
It was in Josh's hands. I trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see.
I was so sleep deprived that whole trip, I don't really remember going.
All I remember is that you and I, the bloom was off the rose with the sort of film production for us. Anything with, and we sat around all day. I think we were trying to recall sitcoms from the 70s and their theme songs.
We just try to amuse ourselves like prisoners whenever we do something. Yeah. Here's what I really remember from that entire Dawson's Creek experience. The car that was supposed to pick me up to take me to the airport to leave for Dawson's Creek did not show up.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to leave North Carolina, the car that was supposed to take me to the airport did not show up.
But we got to see a cool battleship.
Yeah, we did see a battleship. Jeremy?
Yes.
You're 25?
That's correct.
Your question is going to have to wait.
All right.
We're going to commercial.
Sounds good.
All right. What is this question, Drew?
He's lost his confidence from a lot of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Okay, well, hold on. Yeah, Josh?
Jeremy.
I mean, Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
We don't need your kind here. Just cry and masturbate.
Like Adam did. It worked out of it.
Now, hold on. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Peekaboo Street, and you guys are listening to The Love Line. Dr. Drew and Adam. Don't be shy.
Sounds so nice. How could she yell at Tommy?
She's an exquisitely competitive person. And I don't know what that is with that competition business, but it makes a difference.
Hey, this is Peekaboo Street.
Yeah.
And you guys are listening to The Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam.
That's why she sounds nice. She's compensating for that competitiveness she has.
Maybe.
But, you know, you can't underestimate, you know, when Jeremy McGrath won he won the pro division. And when he showed up at the driving school, he was one of the few guys that I knew. And I said, now why has he got a race in the pro division? Because all he ever races is motorcycles, although he did do a little car and kart racing here and there.
I remember that.
And somebody said, he's a competitor. He's got more Supercross wins than anybody.
Right.
I mean, he's got twice as much as anybody else. He's a competitive guy.
Yeah.
And that does seem to carry you through.
Don't be shy.
Oh,
Jeremy.
Don't be shy.
Yeah. Speaking of Jeremy, hey, you're 25.
Correct.
And you've lost some confidence.
Yeah, it's been about 4 years since I've been on a date.
4 years.
Yeah.
And how did the last date go?
It was fine. It was with my girlfriend when I was going to college in Indiana.
Oh, okay. So that was a date, but it was your girlfriend.
Right.
I'm
not sure if that counts as a date, really. That's just, it's been 4 years since you've been in a relationship. And four years since you've had a date.
Have you tried asking people out?
Yeah, I do. And I get stuck in the quandary of having needing to have confidence.
Forget. Don't analyze it for us. Just answer the question. Have you tried asking someone?
Yes, I have.
What happens when you ask them out?
Usually they just blow me off or just say, you're a nice guy, but, you know, or said.
Is there anything about you we should know? Is there anything unique or different or might handicap you in some way?
Oh, no, not handicapped at all.
I don't mean literally handicapped. I mean in terms of the eyes of these people you're going after. Is there some sort of thing that they might make note of or be different about you or that could handicap you in that regard?
I think I'm pretty shy.
All right, well, let me size you up there, Jeremy. 25. What's your sign?
Capricorn.
You want to describe yourself?
I knew it.
How much do you weigh?
About 230 pounds.
How tall are you?
A little over 6'1".
A little over 6'1", and what do you do for a living?
I manage a coffee shop, and I'm a bouncer at a strip club.
Yeah.
So are you asking strippers out?
No.
And you're now, what kind of shape you in? Because you sound a little heavy.
About average, a little heavy.
Yeah.
I lose about 20 pounds or so.
I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you, men hold it against women when they're a couple pounds overweight, except for black guys. They actually crave that in a woman. But women hold it against guys that got a couple extra pounds on them, too. That wouldn't be a bad place to start. You know, getting yourself in shape, shedding that 20, 25 pounds that you're a little extra you got on you, It give you something to focus on and then something to feel good about.
You work out? You work out?
Yeah, I do.
All right. And then who are these women you're asking out? Where do you meet them? That sort of thing.
Mostly I just meet them at the coffee shop I work at and then just around town with, like, friends and stuff.
How often are you asking somebody out?
I haven't asked anybody out for about a month or so, but before that it was every couple of weeks or...
Yeah.
And no one would go... And no one would go out.
He's a little shaky. Women can't stand that. They see fear, and they're cruel that way. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like bad. They're like used car salesmen. If they think you're not too confident, they'll take you for everything you got. Hmm. And I don't know what that is. It's really cruel if you think about it. I mean, a guy sees a girl who seems nervous or who seems a little bit of a klutz, doesn't seem to have her game together, but well, she's totally hot.
We pounce.
Hell yeah! It's better that way.
But think how cruel we are. If you're defenseless in some way, is how we see it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Be easier.
But this does not work for guys.
No.
And I can hear Jeremy's shaky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work well for him. And what he needs to do, and also, if he says he's 20 pounds overweight and he's 40. A Loveline caller,
yeah.
He could have 35, 40 extra pounds on him.
You shouldn't do the radio math just with the women.
Yeah, I got to do it with the guys, too.
In fact, add a factor of two with the guys.
Yeah.
Because they don't get on the scale but every so often. And be that as it may, you know, probably also shouldn't be sort of broadcasting his evening job. I'm not so sure how many women are going to really just be into that.
Okay, so
you know what I'm saying?
Here's the deal. Focus on working out, eating a little better, and see if you can drop that 25, 30 pounds.
And maybe get a career going a little.
Number one. Number two, focus on a career. Yeah. That always helps with women. And again, women, they don't care about money. They care about whatever it is you do that gets you the money.
Mm-hmm.
The money is sort of a byproduct of what you do, which they don't mind you having, but they're much more turned on over you doing what you want to do.
This is your position in life theory.
Yeah, go down to a club and go watch some rock band that you've never heard of. Just go down to the Sunset Strip, see somebody playing at the Troubadour or Gazzari's or whatever the hell they got over there these days. You'll see tons of hot chicks worshiping the person up on stage, and the band will be a band you never heard of.
Yeah.
And they're not making any money, and they're all going back to their crappy job at the Gap or the gas station during the day. But the point is the guy's doing what he wants to do, and there are women out there who are willing to sleep with him because he's doing that.
Mm.
And Jeremy is not doing that.
Mm.
All right. And you got to booze it up. You got to take the edge off, a little booze. Marie?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I just recently went to my doctor for my annual, and she told me that I have cysts on my cervix, and that some of them look like they've already hardened.
On your cervix?
Yeah.
Not your ovaries?
Correct.
Okay.
Cervical cyst. I had an ovary cyst once when I was pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious what they could be caused from, or because I haven't got my results back yet.
I'm not quite sure what they're describing. I mean, there are polyps that can form in the cervix. There are fibroid cysts, and I'm assuming that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah, because she's called them cysts.
And they're glandular cysts. There's all different kinds of little cysts you can get there, but none of which are really anything that would amount to anything. I guess the fibroids might be an issue to you in terms of fertility at some point, possibly. But that's
it. What could they be caused from?
Just being 20. It depends what kind we're talking about, but they can be normal.
Okay.
So it depends. You have to ask those kinds of questions.
I was a little astonished when she told me that, and her bedside manner wasn't very great. She didn't leave a lot of room for conversation.
Yes, cysts in general don't mean much.
Okay.
Doctors don't seem to realize sometimes the difference between stuff that sounds big to their patients and isn't big to them.
I know.
You know, and they just, because we talk to these people all the time. Doctor lays something out, says cyst. Says precancerous or something, and then leaves the room, and then the people call us thinking they have ovarian cancer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When is something...
That's why you end that stuff with good times.
With the, That's what I always do. When there is something serious, the doctor will tell you.
Yeah.
There is, believe
me. Yeah, but they need you to, you got to come back and do some surgery or corrective therapy or whatever it is.
There's no dispute about it when there's something serious.
Eric?
Hey.
Hey. What's happening?
I was down there on Saturday watching you.
Oh, you watched the Long Beach Grand Prix on Saturday.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah. I saw you holding fourth, and then you took third at the last, the last turn?
It was the last lap, but I think it was like the fourth or fifth.
I want to know, was it sort of brutal the way he treated our buddy Tommy?
You know, I was actually on Shoreline Drive, but I saw him cut him off on the big screen.
Cut him off. See?
Yeah. Oh,
cut
yeah. Put him off. Wall.
Yeah.
Put him into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it.
Did people go wild?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Everybody was hooting and hollering.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was 5 feet ahead of me for like nine laps, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I saw you try to get by him after you passed Shoreline.
Yeah.
He didn't by you at all.
He wasn't giving me any room. He was doing what he was supposed to do, but I thought I was going to get... I just figured I'd get by him eventually, and he wouldn't let me. So
all
I,
the cars were the same?
Yeah, I had to make my own space. But, yeah, I drove a decent race, right, Eric?
If you had known that you could ram people out of the way without taking yourself out, would you have done that a couple times already?
I knew by virtue of the fact that when you're going into a corner and you're literally a couple of feet or even on the guy who's in front of you, I mean, our bumpers were bumping quite a few times and stuff like that. If you want to spin them, you can spin them. I mean, if you want to slide in and jack them out of there, you can do it. It's just considered sort of dirty pool. And again, you don't want to do that to someone on lap three when they've been training for this thing for the last month.
So you're doing not lap 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
One lap to go. Yeah. Well, actually, I had about half a lap to go. Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, so you were impressed, right, Eric?
Actually, it might sound kind of cheesy, but I bought a program. I was going to see if you'd sign it for me.
Yeah.
Yes. You could come down here tonight.
You guys going to be there until midnight?
Yeah. I want to see the program.
Can I get with somebody to get directions down there?
Yeah. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Just said put a puss on. She was like, oh, Christ. Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from Diamond Bar over in the Pomona area.
Mm. You better get moving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a little late. But yeah, I will sign it for you.
Could I cruise down there on another night?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll work it out.
Oh, you guys are over at Westwood 1, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I talked to Tara.
Yeah, all right, buddy. We'll put you on hold.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. But we're not going to do this anymore.
What? Let people come down here?
Yeah.
Guys are so weak. Why not a girl? Girls call all the time, and you say no, and then again, some dude calls, and he's coming down?
He was impressed with my driving, Anderson.
Anderson.
No, listen, girls don't call all the time and want to come down here, and that happened about 5-6 years ago. Remember that one? Had an extra 50 pounds on her, and I had to drive her home.
Oh, yeah.
Bad times.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
You know what happened again since? That girl said she was hot, and she came down, and she was more scary than hot.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah.
But you didn't drive her home.
No. If she'd been more hot than scary, I would have driven her home. Logan?
Yeah.
You're 23. What's up?
Yeah, I got myself in a little bit of a predicament. Not too big, but it's my main question. I want to find out if I'm out of line, if my thinking is correct or whatever.
Go ahead.
I live in like a little studio place next to my grandparents' house. It's working out really well, and I have brief contact with my grandparents. Well, my grandpa just went to China. He came back a couple days ago, and now I guess someone on the plane or in his party had SARS symptoms, and they've come home, and they've actually been cleared by doctors that they don't have SARS. But my mom is like freaking out that I'm not allowed to come over to their house at all, my parents' house, because I guess for 14 days until it's confirmed that there's no SARS, or I'm not going to spread anything because I've come in contact with my grandpa, and we get in an argument about it every time we talk about
it. Your grandparents have no symptoms.
Hold on. I'm sort of not believing it.
No, I'm believing it.
That's got some interesting elements to it. All right.
I'm buying it.
All right.
And mom, is she, does your grandparents have any symptoms?
No, they don't have any symptoms.
Did the person who was supposedly might have it, were they proven not to have it?
They were proven not to have it.
All right, so they've not been exposed.
I guess so. They were around that person a lot, I guess.
Yeah, but that person doesn't have it. You just said.
That's what I've been told.
All right, well, if the bird doesn't have SARS, then there's no reason for any of this.
Why?
That's what I think. But my mom is like, they canceled the Easter party. They canceled, I can't go over for Sunday dinner.
Now you believe in him?
Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Are you going to keep going here, Logan?
No, I'm serious. This is my only, I'm just asking, like.
What are you asking? This is a good question.
Am I out of line with my thinking? Is my whole family is against me for, like, being carefree about it? Like, I think they're overreacting.
Well, it's reasonable to be as careful as possible with all of this. That the big issue with SARS is not that anyone's going to get it, but to sort of shut down any possible routes of transmission. It's important for the public health. So if they, as you came off the planes, if they told you to quarantine for 14 days, you ought to respect that. But if this is really your mother's cockamamie idea after they've been cleared and there was no SARS in any event, this is just more part of the hysteria that I think is going on out there.
Okay.
All right, good times. I wish my family would adopt this with me.
Just not see you?
I swear to Christ, I should start saving these messages. You know, my mom, I got this message like on Thursday.
Yeah.
Always a little confusion with the answering. Oh, hello? Yeah. Honey, Joyce Laufer is doing one of the bigger roles in the production of Pippin.
Oh,
it's going to be at Valley College.
Oh, my God. Couldn't you have her on the radio program? Was that what it was?
Joyce Laufer's like in her, she's like in her late 60s. She can barely sing. This is a Thursday. No, this is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be at the Valley College. They're doing Pippin. If you could come down, it's like I'm thinking, oh, Christ. Where's my SARS? Where's my SARS? I thought, thank Christ, I got to go do that car race.
You could just tell your mom you had SARS. That would be good for a couple of months of mileage.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think there'd be, like, follow-up questions and stuff. Like, you know, someone told me you're on the radio. Should you be working? It would get confusing. Mm-hmm. But
it would take a few months for them to catch up with the fact that you're actually broadcasting.
Yeah, that's
true.
They don't
watch your
stuff.
That's
true. But the idea that Logan's mom is telling him not to come over because their grandparents went to China, who live in a separate house.
You know, it doesn't surprise me at all. There's so much crazy hysteria out there about SARS. It's unbelievable. Anderson was one of the people that got me going about this. I was yelling about it about 2-3 weeks ago, and Anderson goes, oh, yeah, I was at the movie theater today. Everybody had it. The whole theater was coughing. They all had SARS. I went, okay.
I did not say that.
You said that.
Wrong.
You said something to that effect because it really got me going at that point.
Hey, Anderson, do you notice how Drew's got a lot of diva in him? Like, I think it's from his hanging around with his wife too long or something, but Drew will do that. He told me everyone, or she dissed me, or she. You got some chick in you when you describe
really?
Stuff.
Or,
yes.
Or like, no, Adam never said it was hot in here. I never heard that once.
It's
completely make a horrible witness for the prosecution.
Did not hear it once. I just didn't hear it as a big deal.
I asked you your take on it, as far as how the media was going after.
No,
SARS.
No. This was before that. He was out over here, and you said, oh yeah, everybody.
I said it's weird how everyone was really, really sick, but I never said SARS.
All right. Let's break it up.
Let's go to a break.
Yeah. Remember when people used to go to China for, like, you'd make a fist and tell someone you're going to send them to China? Someone would dig a hole to China?
Yeah.
There's a lot of going to China. Now it's like, people are like, yeah, I'm going to China. It's like,
ding dong day.
What happened? What, someone hit you with the frying pan? No, I'm going there for business. Oh, I didn't know you could actually go there. I thought someone had to threaten to send you there. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sum 41 is coming in here tomorrow night. They're going to be in here a little bit later in the evening. Not too late, but they got to do Jimmy's show, and then they'll come in here, and then you can watch them on TV tomorrow night on Jimmy's show. So it all works out. Drew,
yep.
You want to go here? Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and let's go back and to the phone, speak to Katie, who's 17. Katie?
Yeah.
What's up?
I needed some advice from, you know, someone, and I'm going out with this guy, and my dad doesn't like him at all. He hates him.
Why does he hate him?
Because I spent the night at his house.
How old is the guy?
He's 18.
You're 17. What else? What might make him not like this guy?
My dad thinks that me and him slept together the night that
no,
I...
No, Katie, forget that event.
Well, that could do something.
It could do something, but, again, I want to know about the guy. Does he wear... Is he anything about him that your dad might not find so spectacular?
No, because I've been with other guys. You know, he's practically the same, and there's nothing different about him.
Let me ask the important questions. Black fingernail polish?
That's what I'm getting at.
Or we go the other direction. Mullet?
No.
Or one of the worst hairstyles I saw the other day, the frolet.
Oh, my God.
This is the mullet that's been froed.
Wow.
But not really froed stick out. It's the permit.
Oh.
It's the mullet with the perm. Yeah, that is some bad times. Is he going to college?
Yeah, from what I've heard, he's told me.
Well, now, see, here's I'm getting disturbed.
From what you've heard.
Why do you have such a distant relationship with a guy that you spend the night with? You don't even know what he's doing.
Talk on the street is he's going to college, Drew.
Why is that?
Because we live in, you know, totally different cities and everything, so we don't get to see a lot of each other, but when we did, and now I'm not allowed to see him at all.
Right.
I barely talk and everything.
I'm getting no information from Katie, am I?
Katie, maybe there's a... maybe she can put her cat on the phone and we can get some real answers here. Hey, Katie. How far away does he live from you?
I'm not exactly sure.
That is shocking that she does not know. Tell me approximately how far away.
If you got a car and drove there, how long would it take? From where you are now?
20 minutes.
20 minutes away.
Yeah.
20 minutes. Yeah. And so you say he lives... doesn't live in your town.
No.
That's Pasadena to Glenville. I had a girlfriend in high school that far away.
Listen, that's not very far away, 15 right. or 20 minutes in a car, is it?
No.
All right, so why don't you see this guy?
So why do you say he lives in a different town? I mean, why is that part of our...
Every answer Katie gives us is a defense against having to look at what's really going on here. She's smokescreen, obfuscation. There's something wrong with this guy, and she's not going to let us see it.
What the hell's that?
They do not letting a smokescreen. She's not going to let us see this. Does this guy, what is it about this guy? Does he have other girlfriends? Is he a sort of big man on campus where he lives? Is he a troublemaker?
He's not a troublemaker or anything like that.
I slept at his house.
My dad hates him.
How do you know? Now you say he says he goes to college, but you would have no way to verify that because he lives 15 minutes away.
He's told me that he is, I'm not sure about that yet.
Why? How many times have you seen this guy?
Huh?
How many times have you seen this guy?
Quite a bit.
Go to hell! Just get the hell out of here. I just did quite a bit. He's around. What does that mean, by the way? And here's the whole thing. Here's what I want to say to everybody. If you mean what you say, then don't say it in a sort of cryptic way. Like you go, does he go to college? Well, he says he does, but I have no way to verify that. You understand? That sounds like you're hiding something or covering something up, or that he's hiding something.
Or go ahead and tell us why you don't know more. Go ahead and explore.
Don't just give the crazy cryptic answers.
Yeah. Explain why you must have thought about why you don't know more. Well, what are your thoughts, Ben? Go ahead and share them with us.
Listen, don't see the guy.
Yeah, he sounds like there's something wrong with the guy.
Well, we haven't gotten any information out of her about him.
Because she's hiding it, whatever it is. It's something that's going to expose her to the truth. She ain't going to let us see it.
Yeah, but maybe she's just really dumb and can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing to communicate.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I don't care. If you can't answer any goddamn questions, so screw you. Who cares?
Jennifer?
Yeah?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a big question for Drew.
Yeah?
Well, I got married at 18 and to a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
And a year later, we had a child together.
Mm-hmm.
And... my daughter was probably about 4 or 5 months old, and my husband started cheating on me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, you know. And I just basically came home one day with my daughter, and I caught him on the floor.
Caught him on the floor?
Yeah, of our house.
You came home with your daughter?
Yeah.
How old was she at the time?
She was 4 or 5 months old.
All right, go ahead.
My younger brother says that he loves you.
Thanks. That's very nice.
All right, so he was having sex on the floor of your house.
Yes, with our niece-in-law.
And with what?
Our niece-in-law.
Niece-in-law. What's the question?
Hold on a second. Well, a niece-in-law.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't go
okay. There. I married him.
Right.
Okay. And he's got, there's totally 11 kids.
In his family?
Yeah.
Nice.
And apparently his wife was married before and they had a daughter.
Oh.
And then the first marriage.
Forget it. We don't have time for this.
Hold on a second, Jennifer. Okay. We got to take a break.
Good.
All right. We'll get this straightened out, though. Don't worry.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I don't know about that. That's pretty optimistic.
I'm still trying to bend my mind around the niece-in-law.
Yeah.
The niece-in-law is the niece of the person you married.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yes. Should be.
It should be, but it didn't sound like
no.
it. All right, younger chick, I'm picturing.
Yeah.
All right, this guy's an a-hole, but we'll figure it out. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. When I had this thought about 25 seconds ago, I thought, I better lay off the coffee. I got to get up at 3 in the morning tonight and do that Stern show.
Pow.
Pow. Vente size coffee bean.
Rolls through the
coffee
door.
Comes right through the door. And this is a place where I got to blow brine to get a little Sanka.
Good times.
Yeah, where were we?
We're talking to Jennifer.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who?
Yeah, Jennifer had a kid with her husband and then came home one day with her kid to find him pumping away on his niece-in-law.
Right.
You know, the niece part makes her sound young, but the in-law part makes her sound older. So this may be a push. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
It's like you hear niece, right? He's banging an 11-year-old. You hear
right.
in-law, you hear... Now she's 52.
Right. She could be like the sisters, Marge's sisters in The Simpsons.
So how old was the niece-in-law he was having sex with?
Believe it or not, she's older than me.
Yeah, there you go.
he's going to be 31 here in September.
And she was?
And she is going to be 30.
All right. Anyway.
All right.
So what's the question?
Well, now that I've been separated from him, I filed for a divorce and everything, and he said okay with it. And then I was pushing to get it finalized on the second behalf of their divorce, and he just said no, whatever, and he decided to skip town. Well, he came back and everything, and he started bringing cocaine into my house,
mm-hmm.
and it caused a big problem, and... CPS that works with the state,
mm-hmm.
they got involved and they took my daughter away.
Oh, boy.
And I haven't seen my daughter since September 6th or 7th.
This is how old the child?
She's going to be 4 next month.
So you were doing cocaine, too?
No, I can't do it. I'm allergic to it.
Hold on. Who's allergic to blow?
I am.
What happens?
What happens?
She gets really high, grits her teeth, and makes plans to reseed the lawn. The following morning.
No.
Yes, that's what happens to me. Even when I lived in an apartment, I was going to work on the lawn.
What happens?
I get really, really sick. I get a little dizzy, and I start puking, and I start going into convulsions.
All right.
All right, well, that's not an allergy. Okay.
But anyway, they...
But they can't... Cocaine does cause seizures.
So
why did they take the child? Why didn't they take you out of the home, too?
I left. I decided to leave after I tried to get the marriage to work, and it didn't work.
You left the child with their husband?
Oh, well, what it is, do you guys know what Dilantin is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a seizure medicine.
Yes, that's for anticonvulsions and everything.
You have a seizure disorder?
Encephalitis, yeah. I've been diagnosed with that since I was 14.
You had encephalitis when you were 14, you've had seizures since.
Yeah, and I've been clear for...
So they felt... Jennifer, try to track with me here. So they felt that you were incapable of taking care of the child then?
Well, they knew I was capable of taking care of the child.
Why did they take
one?
Why did they take the child?
It was because of him. They found the cocaine.
So why didn't they take you and the child out of the home?
They took the child out of the house and then
why didn't they take you and the child out of the home?
No, they just took the child.
Why didn't they take you and the child? It's just impossible.
Listen, tonight is ridiculous. You know, you say to someone, how old was the niece-in-law, and the answer is, she's older than me.
You'll never believe it. She's older than me. Yeah.
Again, when does... I just mean when you... When you when you bring your car into the mechanic and he says, how long have you had the car? And you say, I got it after the car before it.
No, longer than you can imagine.
What the hell does that mean to anybody?
Yeah.
How come we can't get a goddamn number or piece of information out of anybody who calls this
show?
Not
tonight. Not tonight.
Not tonight. Not any night. All right, so what's it going to take to get your daughter back, Jennifer?
I won't get her back.
Ever?
No.
Way more information. Lots of missing information.
We're missing a lot of information here. And listen, all you screwballs that call the show and just give us these guys came in and took someone away for no reason, or I'm in prison for no reason.
That's not the whole thing, though. That's
I know. There's plenty.
I'm concerned about all these guys that are coming after me. And, you know, I'm still married to my husband.
Yeah.
Even though I've been separated from 2 years now.
What guys are coming after you?
A whole bunch of Mexican guys.
Mexicans?
You mean to try to have sex with you, that kind of thing? Yes.
I married a Mexican.
Oh, that's the name of my sitcom.
And
it's coming out on WB. It's called I Married a Mexican.
Hey.
It's great. We do that thing where we put tape down the middle of the apartment, and I say, Paco, you stay on that side. This guy's always got a mariachi band.
He's over there with his
oranges.
Uncle, dressed like a bee?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. All right.
The Tucson.
You got these Mexican guys coming after you.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they love my body and they know who I am, and they think that because I married their best friend that they can be with me.
Sure, of course. Yeah, as Mexican tradition would have it. You get to F the wife of one of your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the whole thing is that I've been separated from my husband for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was that the whole thing?
That's the whole thing. I see.
When I first fell in love with my husband when we were boyfriend, girlfriend, and everything,
sure.
There was 10 guys and I was the only girl.
Yeah.
In the apartment.
Hold on a second there, baby.
Uh-oh. I'm afraid where she's going with that.
All right. You're starting to get the feeling that maybe them taking the kid away wasn't such a bad plan.
Listen, they don't take kids away from mom unless there's some really compelling reason.
And
really compelling.
Sort of the never getting her back thing, but that's not really her problem.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's all the guys that want to screw her.
Jennifer, could you please not have any more kids for quite some time?
I don't plan on having another child. So
how are you preventing that from happening?
Staying away from sex and being on Depo-Provera.
There you go. All right.
Good girl.
Condoms.
Okay.
All right. Excellent.
So,
condoms and Depo. Yes.
You don't have to have sex with any of these Mexican guys.
No, but the guy that I live with, my husband, his best friend, I'm in love with his brother, and I've been with his brother for 5 years now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
And my husband came home and caught us one time going at it in the room.
Was that before you caught him?
It was after.
After. No. Yet you'd been seeing this guy for
years. I got even. I was thinking I was getting even.
Yeah, of course. Right, of course.
So, you know,
ultimately, I think you're getting even with yourself, though.
Yeah.
I mean, your version of your life strategy of getting even is like saying, it's like me saying, oh, yeah, I'll show you Drew. I'll cut my balls off and I'll shoot it at you with a wrist rocket. Yeah, got you even. We're even now. Hit in the face with my balls.
That would hurt.
All right, baby. Yeah.
I feel so sorry for you guys.
Listen, baby. Don't get pregnant. Stay away from the coke and the Mexican guys that are chasing you.
And
good time.
With one of them.
All right, that's good. Jennifer sounds... impaired.
Impaired. Yeah.
That's right. Loco, is the Mexicans would say.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. It's like, I think in terms of like, wow, she needs like a leash or something. You know, somebody walking her on a lead. You know?
Not even a leash. One of those sticks with the noose on the end of it that the animal control people use.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right, just please, no more kids. That's all.
Yes.
And some therapy, find Jehovah. All right.
We're starting over again.
Okay, but listen, all you screwballs out there, you know what? Convert to Judaism.
Why?
Because magically you'll get smarter and you'll get a little better sense of family.
I'm a Jew.
Let me tell you what goes on. The only people that convert to Judaism are the people... The Jews don't need converting to Judaism.
Yeah.
And who don't need Judaism in their life.
So?
All you got is that ditzy blonde. She's the second trophy wife of the orthodontist Jewish guy, you know. Dr. Finkelstein over there divorces. He meets, so he's dating his receptionist, who's 28 years younger, and he forces her to convert.
Mm.
She's chewing gum and typing all day, reading Us magazine. She doesn't give a rat's ass about any of the Judaism crap.
And your point.
My point is I don't need her becoming Jewish.
Oh, I see.
Jennifer, I need becoming Jewish.
Got it.
I'm not Jewish.
It's wasted on Finkelstein's secretary.
That's right. But this is a good religion for straightening people out.
Okay.
And you born-agains out there, I would have thought that would have been a good plan, but I met too many of you, and it ain't working. You go Jew, your IQ goes up 35 points when you sign the Jew paper, Drew. You go born-again, you're giving away like 25, 30 IQ points when you sign the born-again paper. You understand that?
I'll do some research on that. Sounds very compelling.
Christy?
Yes?
Drew, seriously. would you like to see a study on the IQs of your standard Jew and your standard born-again?
But the problem
what'd you say,
is,
about 55 points?
The problem is most of the Jews came from a stable family system. Their attachment was ambivalent at best. And then the born-agains usually come from very chaotic systems where born-again is supposed to be a solution to the
trauma. That's your scientific mind. I say it's got to be in the yarmulke. That actually does something to shield the brain.
No, it channels satellite waves.
We got to test those yarmulkes. I'm sure there's a magnetic force around those things.
It channels information from space.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Part yarmulke, part satellite dish. Christy?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
I want you to go Jew.
I'm not going to go Jew.
Come on, baby. It'll make you smarter.
No.
What's going on?
Well, I've had this relationship going for 15 years, on and off. We're each other's first.
Since you were 15?
Since I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten married, and he's had a kid with somebody else, and every time we both have a breakup, we end up back together.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there people breaking up if you're both married?
Well, divorced. After we're divorced already.
You've both been divorced.
Yes. Well, he was never married. He had a child with somebody else.
All right.
And I was married for 6 years.
And he got divorced.
And I divorced.
And
did he break up with the mother of his child?
Yes, he did.
All right. So then you guys got back together. Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, it's like a friendship thing with benefits.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's not a total commitment.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like you guys are sort of like each other's life preserver.
Something, yeah.
But yet somehow you both sense that there's really, you wouldn't be good together in a relationship over time. It would sort of spoil this, huh?
Well, I'm not really sure.
Well, if one thing you want, that you lose your life preserver.
Yeah.
You guys have this sort of thing always.
Where'd you run to if this one didn't go right?
Right. This is the one you sort of always
get me one of these.
Available to you.
I can't stay in another relationship because I'm totally in love with him. I have been since I was 15.
Well, there you go.
Ooh.
So
he doesn't feel this way about you?
I'm not really sure. Let's
paint the picture. This guy has a child out of wedlock. He's moving around.
How's he doing with his kid?
Doing really good. Really good. And he's not the kind of guy that goes to woman to woman. You know.
How often does he see his kid?
Every weekend, pretty much.
All right.
And what do you mean he doesn't go woman to woman? What does he do?
He's not promiscuous. He's really withdrawn, actually, when it comes to women, and that's what attracted me to him. I have a very weird taste in men.
You like men that aren't available.
Yeah.
I like salty. That's my taste.
I don't know.
He must sense that on some level and know that when he becomes available, you'll reject him.
All right, so
he has to stay unavailable.
You're both single right now, right?
Yes, we are.
All right, just take him on a picnic and talk to him. Tell him you love him.
That's the thing, we talk all the time, and it's like we have this friendship with benefits.
Yeah, but listen, no more benefits. You tell him you're tired of living this charade.
Yeah.
Use the word charade. It'll confuse him momentarily, and you'll probably get him to commit.
Hmm.
But I can't, because he's the only person that can get me off.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's why she can't use the word charade, Adam. I can't.
Because he gives you an orgasm?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
In lots of ways.
Why can't you use the word charade in front of someone? Drew's give me 1,000 hand jobs. I use the word charade all the time.
There it is again.
Worst name for a car ever, by the
ever.
Way.
Ever.
Daihatsu charade.
Well, it's weird because I thought it was just a sex thing or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's no such thing exists.
Just tell them you want to be in a relationship. You guys have been there and done that 1,000 times. You're 30 now.
Yeah, but...
All right, but who cares?
You're going to argue with us now.
Let me tell you what my what my I finish every butt with, who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
I've such a, had such an ass full of our callers tonight, I can barely stand
this
myself.
This has been a crazy group, huh?
Eric.
Yeah.
Here's the reason I was mean to poor Christy. She just wanted to argue back and forth. She said she's in love with the guy. She's been with him for 15 years on and off. I said she's dirty. Take him out somewhere
and just tell him
you love him, and let's see what happens.
I can't because I can't.
All right, then get the F out of here.
I can't because he gets me off.
Gets me off.
Really? That's why you can't talk to him. Very interesting.
Eric? Eric.
What's going on?
Yeah. You have a question?
Yeah, I have a carpentry question.
Good. Thank God.
My threshold on my front door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a concrete slab. My threshold for my front door, it's not bolted down, you know. It's risen up like a, I don't know, about a 16th to an eighth of an inch, enough to make it tough to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I reattach it back down on that concrete slab?
How do you know it's raised? Is it loose when you step on it? Does it have a little spring on it?
Exactly.
Is it aluminum?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. That means you're living in a crappy house when you got that aluminum threshold on a slab.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's one of my white trash litmus tests.
Oh, really?
I want to know if there's a raised foundation, you're on a slab, and whether you got a solid oak threshold or you're doing the anodized aluminum job. So it does have some three screws in it that are supposed to be holding it down, but it's come loose, right?
Well, actually, it only has one screw in the center, and then the door frame at each side.
Oh, yeah, it's all parts. You got a metal door frame, too, or is the wood just pushing it down?
The metal door frame where, you know, it closes into a groove.
Yeah. It shouldn't, the door jamb shouldn't be sitting on top of the threshold. You sure it doesn't just look that way?
Well, maybe it looks that way, but it looks like the threshold goes under the frames on the left and right side, you know, about a quarter of an inch.
And you just got one hole in the middle with a Phillips head screw in it.
Well, actually, there's nothing in it, but it is one hole in the middle.
All right. Now, you got to figure out a way to suck that thing down to the slab.
Right.
And there's really nothing you can do about it. All right, here's what you're going to do. It's going to be fast. We got people out there that I got to make fun of and yell at not to have kids and to convert to Judaism, all right?
Okay.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually see if you can pry that thing up just a little bit. Just take a wedge, a little pencil, piece of wood or something. See if you can actually get it up off the slab just a little bit. And clean it out, you know, blow it out a little. Try to get the dirt and the dust. Take a damp rag and see if you can get your fingers under the edge of it just a little bit, even if it's just a up a quarter inch or whatever. See if you can get that clean. Then take some silicone, pure silicone. Not that painter's caulk that has like 10% silicone. Not siliconized caulk. Pure silicone. All right?
Uh-huh.
Squirt it under there liberally. Put it in that hole. As much as you can get under there, that's great. All right?
Yep.
All right. Then I'm going to need you to take some screws. These screws are self-tapping concrete screws, all right?
Right.
Brand name is Tapcon. They're blue. Okay?
Blue Tapcon.
Blue Tapcon. You can get some, you can get pan head or flathead. Now get pan head. Pan head Tapcons. What?
Countersunk pan head.
Well, you can't really countersink them because you're going into aluminum threshold. You don't really have any room to work with. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to finish it. Let him finish.
I got to finish here. That Tapcon will come with the bit that works for the, if it's a, you know, 3/16 Tapcon screw, it'll come with a bit that's, I don't know, 5/32 or something. You drill the hole and you just screw it down right into the concrete. You don't have to get in into the concrete. You got to use a regular just boring bit just to go right through the top and then drill it with the masonry bit and then put the screw in. And if the screw should be about 2 inches long.
All right.
All right? And now don't over-tighten it. Once you tighten it down and it just sucks it down into that silicone and pulls it tight, then walk away. Don't keep torquing on it. It's not going to grab that much onto the concrete.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good times.
There you go.
Hey.
Hey, we helped somebody tonight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, what do you mean, somebody? There have to be millions of people listening that are having aluminum threshold difficulties on a slab.
Oh, sure.
Boring bit. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Here's my question. I've had multiple partners, and in the past, I've actually, I mean, they could be lying to me, but pretty much every single one has said I've been, like, really good in bed.
Right.
The girl that I've seen now.
Wait, how does that work? They announce that to you at the end of the evening?
Yes, they say it was great.
It was kind of like a little general thing. Like, they, like, in passing, they kind of said that it was like, I'm really, really good.
Yeah, you know, but when you're good.
Well, yeah, you know, I think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of convinced. I kind of believe it, at least. You know, maybe not every single one of, like...
All right. But, so what?
So, anyway, the girl that I'm seeing now, it's been, like, 6 months, and she's never, ever had an orgasm. Mm-hmm. And it's been 6 months since we've been together, and she still hasn't had one. It's coming to the point where it's starting to, like, give me anxiety. I'm starting to have, like, problems even, like...
Yeah.
You know.
Don't get erect.
So, I guess my question is, like, what kind of... Is it possibly a medical condition, or is there anything that I should do?
Is she on any medication?
She's on the pill.
On the pill. Sometimes the pill will do that to people, certain versions of it.
Actually, before that also. Well, because she was with her ex for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and he never gave her an orgasm either.
She never gave her an orgasm?
Well, he
never gave her.
Okay.
Yeah, what...
She's only recently been on the pill.
All right.
And what kind of things you tried?
I mean, positions...
well, look. Wait, how old is she? Quiet down. How old is she?
She's 19.
19.
A lot of 19-year-olds. A lot of 19-year-olds cannot have orgasm.
Easy.
It's just very common. She's, but
she can't have one.
I don't think he's trying oral sex.
But all my, I've done that too. I've done like, I mean, I've been there to the point where like my jaw fell off.
Right.
Like all my exes who've been like 18, 19, 20, 21, never had a problem there. I mean, I've never had this problem before, and I've
A lot of women have that problem.
So I was like, yeah, whatever.
All right, let's quiet down. What? You called from Riverside. You on meth?
No, I'm not.
What? Okay. What? How could that be? He's not calling from Riverside.
You have to be on meth in order to get inside the Riverside city limits. How'd you make it past the checkpoint?
I have no clue.
All right.
Is she bothered by this?
No, she says it's fine. She says...
All right, you've got to stop. One of the problems that men have is not thinking like a male. Because women, very often, particularly at that younger age, they're sort of predominated by the effects of estrogen. And in that setting, a lot of women are very satisfied by the experience of receptivity. Mm-hmm. Estrogen causes receptivity rather than orgasm. And so just the function of sort of taking someone in and feeling close and having that kind of sexual arousal around a receptive experience is very satisfying without orgasm.
But he's
as a male, it's almost impossible to imagine that. But
Joe's like an insecure ferret on a double cappuccino, trying to hump some sense into her. And there's nothing women hate more than that. It's like, this isn't working. All right, we're going reverse cowgirl. Yeah. We're going wheelbarrow. No, I'm going doggy now. No, come on. And you're like working.
Yeah, tonight we're going to get this figured out. Tonight it's going to happen.
Yeah, they don't.
And me, women goes.
They don't like. They don't like that it be worked on like some project that's got to be ready for
science
tomorrow's
project,
class.
Car.
Yeah. Yeah, just relax. And Joe's all into Joe's. That's I've been with other girls.
How dare it?
Listen, everybody. Let me tell you what your whole life essentially becomes: a bunch of stuff that never happened before happens. That's life. It's like being held up.
Adam, hallelujah! I can't tell how often people when I offer them a diagnosis go, how is this possible?
Well, but
it's never happened before.
It's not just physical stuff that happens to you. You're going to get in a car accident one day after not being in a car accident for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have somebody do something. Someone's going to dump you. Somebody's not going to have an orgasm. You're going to come down with some illness. This is all that happens. The longer you go, the more stuff that happens to you that hasn't happened to you before. A lot of it's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it.
Good point.
You certainly wouldn't want things not to happen to you, because then you'd take the good stuff out too. And if you have a good life, more good new things that haven't happened to you before happen to you than bad, but there's always going to be a handful of those.
Well said.
All right, we'll be back. Yeah, what's going on? Ball. Belched up some I don't want to hear me doing the lightning round tonight.
Well, this might be the last night that you have some life in you for a while.
Nah, yeah? I'll be fine tomorrow. Candy stage five. Candy stage five. Blah, blah, blah. Let her know you appreciate her, fellas. I'm fat. I wear a leather fanny pack. I got a frolet going. I got a bad beard that gives me a chin because I got a double chin. I wear those weightlifter pants. It's a good look.
Weightlifter pants with a leather fanny pack? That's nice.
Yeah, that's
sort of a parachute pants.
Yeah, the sort of tiger stripe parachute pants with the fanny pack.
That's
right. It's one of these. It's what you call lose-lose. Is the fact that you've decided to wear the weightlifter pants has necessitated the use of the fanny pack because there's no pockets in the thing. Now you've taken the world's worst pants and the world's worst accessory and put them over those things. You know, some guys with
and then a tank top.
There's certain guys, or even a muscle shirt, which is the worst. That's the muscle shirt is the tank top's ugly cousin.
Okay.
That is the T-shirt with the sleeves missing, which is not a tank top. Still has the crew neck on it. You know, there's those guys that like stuff. They like that little man purse. They like that organizer. Yeah. These are the guys who have a cell phone and have the clip for the cell phone, have the holster for everything. They put their keys on a chain, sometimes retractable. But what is that attraction? Like, to me as a guy, I'm looking to get through. I'm looking to look at life like it's an airport.
Yeah, I
want to get through that metal detector. I don't want to be unclamping stuff and taking screws out of stuff and pulling chains and fanny packs.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I wish I had nothing. I wish I had like a... Oh, Drew.
Uh-oh.
Oh, now I got an idea. Cell phone wallet.
Ooh.
Flip that wallet open. It's kind of get smart. You're talking to it. All right, it smells like ass. I'll give it that. But, I mean, there's nothing worse than having a handful of things and thinking for a second. I have thought, geez, if I had a fanny pack, I'd put the big key ring in there. I'd put the wallet. I'd put the... But who the hell wants to stoop that low? Cell phone wallet.
Yeah.
Flip it open.
It'll just look like the Star Trek communicating device.
Well, no, but it holds. It's a billfold, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is good, Drew.
Yeah.
Put on vibrate. Sit on it.
Yeah.
Someone rips it off to steal your wallet and your cell phone. Rebecca?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What do you think of my cell phone wallet idea?
It could be a good idea. A little stinky, but it could be good.
It's called the Follet.
Follet, yeah. What's up there?
I had an IUD put in on the 8th, and the doctor that put it in,
not to be confused with the
told me that I would be bleeding for probably about 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm still bleeding.
Did you call her
until tomorrow.
Why didn't you call her during the week when you were bleeding during the week?
Because she's only open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I went in on a Wednesday.
Why didn't you call her on...
I don't understand. I mean, they don't have anybody on call?
No, they don't.
That's not possible.
It's a private office. She said that there shouldn't be any problems.
No, I think you're mistaken. She may not be in the office, but there'll be coverage. I mean, you're required to cover your patients.
Okay.
It's abandonment. You can't do that.
Okay.
You could call her right now, and there'll be somebody there. Somebody will answer your questions.
Okay.
So, you should be contacting them. They can get infections. You can get bleeding that can be uncontrolled. Sometimes they have to take them out. Sometimes they'll just watch you for a while.
Well, she's going to see her tomorrow morning,
but
right?
This is a complication. Yeah. Is it heavy bleeding? You're going through
more. No.
Just a little spotting. All right, that's fine. Well. That's not that big a deal.
Good times. Good times. Yeah. Let's talk to Kate, who's 23. Kate?
Yes. I had a yeast infection earlier this week, and I took Monistat 1, and it did get rid of it within 24 hours.
Yeah.
I had sex with my boyfriend probably a day or two later after it was cleared up, and he noticed some bumps on his penis.
Have you seen him?
I didn't see them personally, no. He just called me and told me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious whether a yeast infection or even the medicine could cause him to break out.
No. And then yeast is not really transferred that way, although there is such a thing as a skin infection of the penis with yeast, but it's very uncommon.
Okay.
And it's not really transmitted so much.
Okay. I got tested before we had sex. We've been dating for about 7 months, and his last sexual intercourse was 3 months before we met. So it would seem that would be a long time for a breakout to come out.
Yeah.
If it was an STD.
I understand. You his last intercourse with you was 3 months ago?
No, prior to me.
Come on, Drew. Get with it.
I'm not following. Why do you bring out the previous one when he just...
Because I'm thinking if he were to get something with that person, 9 months later seems like a long time for it to break out.
It has nothing to do with them unless this were in a recurrent herpes and it would have had infection. He would have noticed this sort of thing previously. This is something related to what you guys just did.
Maybe it's warts.
Well, it's hard to know.
It's bumps.
I know. We don't know. She's never seen him. He needs to get checked out. It's probably nothing.
Okay.
But it could be warts, and you may have the wart virus and not know it. About half people your age have it.
Yeah.
And he may have it and not know it. This may be the first evidence of it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Hey, good times, though, right?
Yeah, good times, warts. Good.
Well, I mean, the bumps.
Yeah, bumps are warts, usually. I mean, a bump.
It was the base of his penis, and he said it was more rash-like.
Well, maybe it was, if it was at the base, maybe it was irritated, you know, like a folliculitis.
Was he wearing a condom?
Something with his follicles.
Again, bumps mean nothing. I don't mean that it means nothing that he has a rash. The term bump is, I can't even interpret what you're talking about.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. He needs to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Hi.
You're 22?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I want to say I've listened to you guys for a long time. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Love the man show.
Thank you.
Yeah, what up?
actually, my question is from the age of 18 till about last summer, mm-hmm. I drank really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to come off of it, I started getting really just incredible back pains mm-hmm. and abdominal pains from it.
Immediately following, like when you were detoxing?
Actually, I just started drinking less and less
mm-hmm.
as I went on. And the more I cut down, the more.
Over what period of time did you cut down?
It was actually from the time, it was about July of last summer to about the end of November until I was completely off.
So over 3 or 4 months, you started getting increasing abdominal and back pains as you decreased the alcohol consumption.
Right.
All right.
And I didn't know if that was anything, if that's...
It's very common for alcoholics when they stop to get all kinds of aches and pains, particularly musculoskeletal, on their limbs and back, that sort of thing.
Really?
And that's usually part of a sleep disturbance. Alcoholics, for 6 months after they come off alcohol, have profound disturbances of their sleep. They just complain they can never sleep. Or you can see them sleeping. They'll be snoring for 8 hours. They wake up and say, I didn't sleep a wink last night. Because the normal sleep mechanisms, the delicate biology that is sleep, is altered for many months, oftentimes, after you stop drinking.
Now, if you're taking any kind of, like, medications, can that cause that stuff to happen, too?
What are you taking?
Well, I was taking Zoloft for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not on that anymore.
Not back pain, typically, but maybe some abdominal pains.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what about the fact that he weaned himself off it so slowly?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like this would be like a withdrawal symptom since he did it over the course
of
6 months.
Yeah, it would not be specifically withdrawal syndrome, but the residual state the brain is in when people come off alcohol can be endorphin depleted and can have all sorts of alterations that predispose to pain of various types.
All right, what should he do now?
He needs to be seen to make sure it's not an ulcer or something crazy like that. And, you know, other things can cause abdominal pain. Maybe he wasn't feeling it when he was loaded. But, you know, beyond getting it looked at, there's nothing more to be done.
Sean?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yeah.
You have a blood fetish?
Yep.
All right.
And go.
Well, basically, I mean, it's both my girlfriend and I have this blood fetish.
Well,
and my question is, because I know they use, I don't know, but I've heard of them using pig organs, like transplanting pig organs into humans.
Yes,
pig valves.
Okay, my question is, are there any complications, like if I were to buy pig's blood from like a butcher or something, would there be any complications if it were to get inside the vagina?
How can you buy pig's blood at the butcher?
Yes, you can. I've done it before.
You can. How much can you buy?
As much as you want. Last time I bought it, I bought a gallon.
Hmm.
Buy a gallon, really?
What'd you do with it?
I used it for blood fetish to play with.
You basically used it to beat off, right?
No, I actually used it on the female.
You used it on the female.
What'd you do with it?
How'd you do it? Yeah.
Well, basically, I spread it over her body, and then I would lick it off and just use it kind of like a finger paint.
Wow.
Nice.
Is it coagulated?
No, actually.
Huh. It's just that, and this is just your basic butcher.
Actually, yeah. I just went to a meat market and got it.
Wow, this guy. You want a 55-gallon drum, or do you just want a quart? What can we do you for? And they just give you how much is it?
I paid 15 for a gallon.
I could do it for 13. I could get you. I know guys.
What do people use it for in real life?
Same blood, 13. But. Yeah, what do normal people use it for, if you don't mind me asking?
Cooking. Pig's blood, lamb's blood, bat's blood is actually used in several recipes.
For what?
Bat's blood.
Well, like there's an Irish recipe. It's called black pudding. Yeah. And to make black pudding, you actually use
blood.
Sheep's blood.
Yeah.
All right. And let me say, just with the English and the Scottish and Irish,
and the
all that use of the pudding, yeah. And it's like, yes, this is called nummy pudding. What is this? Lamb intestine? It's wrapped around the valve or ventricle of a goat.
Yeah.
Okay, can we remove the word pudding from it, please? Please? If it's got brains in
All right, you're right. We'll call it porridge.
Don't put brain in pudding. It screws with us Americans.
Yeah.
I think pudding. I think bread or figgy.
They call it bread, sweet breads.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Sweet breads are intestines or lung
pancreas.
Or
and then the Scottish got it right. They just call it all haggis.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. I get back to Sean here. So Sean.
Yeah.
All right. So now, where do you work? At a video store?
Security.
Mm. Perfect.
What was the nature of your trauma growing up?
You know, Sean, you know what your number one security job should be?
What's that?
Keeping you away from yourself.
Yeah.
Keeping me away from myself.
Yes, you need to guard yourself
from yourself.
The likes of you.
See, I do that. I actually have a medically a straitjacket, basically, that's been used, that is medically... usable.
You have it for yourself.
Yes.
Smart.
For myself.
Yes. Sean, you sound like Sean's a smart guy.
Sean was beaten.
Much smarter than most 18-year-olds who call this show.
Beaten growing up.
Sean.
Yes.
All right. And Drew, I want to answer his pig's blood thing, which is what about introducing pig's blood into the badge area?
I honestly don't know. There's other ways to get blood out of the vagina. You know what I'm saying? You can just time things.
Why don't you just wait till that time of the month?
I've done that, but see, the thing is the way I want to use it is basically like, the way I picture using it, and I've talked to my girlfriend about it, is basically a renewed vagina. I mean, a renewed virginity.
Right.
Basically fill up a balloon with the pig's blood.
Right. Hold on, I'm writing. Good,
and then
try swimming.
Popping it inside her?
Wake my wife up when I get home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad. Better yet, I think you could put the blood, as long as you're at the butcher and you're getting the pig's blood, why don't you get some lining? Get some sausage casings, put the blood into that, and then pop that.
But it doesn't pop as easy.
He's trying it.
Okay. Yeah. I understand. You've done experiments with this.
And I had one more question.
Yeah.
This summer, I'm getting an Aprodravia piercing.
Of course. How bad were you beaten as a kid?
I wasn't.
No, something
went south, Sean. What happened,
Mike? There was no problem with me as a kid. My mom's still around. My dad's still around.
Is your dad a minister of the church? What's he do?
No.
What's he do? Is he got to be either be an attorney or he's in the church?
Waste management.
Aha!
And no one ever raised a hand to you?
No.
I can't believe that.
Well, man, once in a while people just get freaked out on their own.
No.
But my other question was like...
No.
What turned you, Sean? What do you think turned you into a screwball?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I was about 14, I changed my religion to Satanism.
Okay, no.
And ever since then, I've been...
All right, so what happened before you were 14?
Nothing. I've just always been intrigued by dark art.
Yeah, once in a while you get the screwy.
No.
Well, look, he wasn't the most popular kid. And he probably...
No, I was not popular.
Yeah, I know. And this is what happens once in a while.
Calling all nerds.
Yeah, you go from... listen, here, I want to make something very clear to everyone, and we got to go to break. All these guys you see now who are into the Satan guys or the guys that walk around with the real long hair and the black nail polish and all this kind of stuff, all the cool guys, all the guys with a little too much jewelry and a few too many piercings and stuff, go back and take a look at their junior high yearbook picture. You will see world-class nerddom. Nerds. The cooler now, bigger the nerd.
Mm.
Huge nerds. And they just find something to latch on to. All right, Drew doesn't believe
There's
it.
There's a reason
take
for
a break.
All of it, though.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. What's happening? It's Loveline. Sum 41 in here tomorrow night. Let's hop back to the phones and speak to Brian. Brian's 27. Brian, you were at the race yesterday.
Adam, man, you are my hero. That was great. I was I'm part of a medical staff that was working the race. I was right there at turn four. I saw you were in fourth the whole way, man. I didn't think you were going to do so well. You tried to take them on. That was about the seventh or eighth lap there, and finally get up to the ninth, and you get it right there on that turn at. You know, right there at turn four, and you get right on that guy's right-hand side. What was that, Street, I believe it was?
No, that was Tommy Shane Steiner, who was
Steiner,
in front of
me. Yeah, there were too many S's in that race. You can't keep them all straight.
That's right.
I'm telling you. You send them right into the wall, man. That was absolutely classic.
Yeah, and he didn't go into the wall softly either.
No, that was for sure. It's I don't know if you couldn't hold the turn there or what it was, but next thing you know, I hear the grinding of metal, and next thing you know,
Well, here's what happened. I just decided I'm going way inside.
And I'm
going to pass. And
he tried that a couple times, I noticed.
He wouldn't give me the line, and I'm going to go way inside, and he's going to have to give me the room. He can't hold the line, because if he holds the line, he's going in the wall. And he held the line, and
he went in the wall.
He went in the wall.
That was the way it goes.
Yeah.
What was with the hand wave? Were you waving to say thanks or see ya or...
I was having a fun battle with him the whole race, and I was waving to him, and he was waving back. And you don't need you don't need two hands to drive a car, even if you're racing.
Yeah.
You can have your other hand free.
You look pretty comfortable there. You had the one left hand kind of up on the door sill the whole way.
I like to drive with my left elbow hanging out the window.
That's safe in a Grand Prix race.
It's more particular safe way of driving
Well, it's tough because I usually, like I said, I drive with my knee most of the time. So having the one hand on there was a lot more than I'm used to. But you have a question, Brian, or you just saw the race?
Yeah, you know what happened? Because I was kind of trying to place where you placed in the race, and I was hoping to see you up on the winner's podium there, third place. Were you not up there? What was the deal?
At the end of the race, they didn't really do any kind of formal presentation or anything. Everybody just came up to a little podium thing, said a couple words, said hi, waved to the fans, and went back down. There wasn't any champagne flying around or any sort of formal Olympic-style podium that was going on, which was fine with me because I probably wouldn't have been up there. But thanks for calling, Brian. Paula?
Yeah, hi.
You're 23.
23.
You haven't had a period in 4 years?
Oh, well, it's been a little bit more than that. I got my first period when I was 14.
Yeah.
And, well, it's always had been irregular. Sometimes I would get it for, like, 6 days.
Okay.
And other months I would get it for, like, 3 days.
Yeah. So?
And, I'm 23 now, and my last period was when I was 19.
And you've had this evaluated?
Yes. I went to the doctor one day, and they did a pap smear on me.
Yeah.
And when the pap smear came back, they said that I had two abnormal cells.
Yeah.
One was 2 centimeters, and the other one was 4. They go, well, you need to go to the emergency room and check it out. But I never went. And, well, right now I'm, like, having a lot of pains in my stomach.
Well, Paul, you've got to get that. This is ridiculous. You've got to get that checked out. You understand what those cells meant, right?
Yeah.
Cancer.
I never thought of it until right now that I'm, you know.
Right. And no one ever explained to you why you're not having periods?
No.
They never used the term polycystic ovarian disease, anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
All right. Well, you need to go. There's no way we can speculate at this point without a lot more information. You need to go get tested, get evaluated, find out why. It's not normal to not have a period for 4 years. There's a lot of reasons that can happen. As far as the abnormal cells, that's a way of screening for cancer, and these are precancerous changes you have. Most of those go away, but some of them go on to cancer, and that needs to be followed up on.
All right, we got to go fast with Krista. Krista, you're 14, your parents are crappy, and you're homeschooled, yes?
Yeah.
All right, and you're depressed. Okay.
How about getting into regular school? Will they let you?
I don't think so.
Well, you want to try?
Well, I never talked to them or anything, but they were thinking about it for this year, but then they decided not to, and then next year my mom's like, she's in enough school.
Okay.
But, now she's talking about homeschooling again.
Well, you need to go. You need
to talk them into it. Yeah. Tell them it's not about the education. You need to.
Socialize.
You need to join the real world.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
That does it for another episode of Loveline. We have an amazing lineup of guests coming up this week. We have Sum 41 tomorrow night, Chevelle, Foo Fighters, Pete Yorn, and we open up next week with Rob Schneider, and then the guests keep on coming. And great job. Donna's the following week. My God. So stay with us and tune in tomorrow for Sum 41, and maybe we're having someone else. What's her name? Julie? And keep getting there. Julie Bowen might be in here tomorrow before Sum 41. So we've got quite a list of interesting people coming in here. So until that time, please join us again. This is Dr. Drew Then on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
And I had one more question.
Yeah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.